You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
We are white.
There is no reasonable level of anti-Semitism.
Greetings, comrades, and welcome to a late and cozy Nordic Frontier. It is the final solution to your podcast problem. It is a National Socialist broadcast and hosted on Nordic Radio. My name is Andreas, and with me I have Johan this evening. How are you doing, Johan?
Oh, I'm good.
All right, and we also have with us Neo Mike.
Wooden dildo.
Oh, I guess that's just pre-recorded, Neo Mike.
Wooden dildo.
We'll see if we'll get use of that later. Yeah, it's just me and you, old buddy. How you doing? Is it hot down there?
It's nice. You feel it's turning we're coming into late summer and turning soon to fall. It's still warm out, but you can feel the evenings get a little cooler and it's getting a little darker. So I don't know. I enjoy the fall, but I don't know. When we go coming closer to fall, then we have winter around the corner. I don't know. It's
I know. We do have the heat up here, and I like you're saying, I can feel the shift, and it's kind of making me sentimental. You know, always when autumn comes around, and you're like been enjoying the summer. It's a bit early as well. I think, man, we should have had a few more weeks of. I don't know, just nice warm weather and some rain. You know, we haven't had rain since, you know, ever. 5 weeks now, maybe, without rain. And it's just like, my lawn is like dust, you know.
Wow.
I get coughing when I'm out running.
So it's as dry as last year, or
yeah,
almost?
It's exactly like last year. You can see the lake is receding as well. So it's like we were speculating last year that the invaders are bringing their climate with them, and we're experiencing climate change, you know? It's turning into the Middle East up here.
But according to the climate alarmists, they have to come here because of the climate change, but you're saying they're bringing that with them.
Yeah. So
that's
an
interesting concept.
I am suggesting they're causing
it. We have to stop them coming here.
Yeah. I'm suggesting that they're causing climate change down there. Mm. So they're coming up here now, you know, having influence on our climate. And it's not very nice.
We have a lot of rain down here. So it's very green and lush down here.
Oh, man.
Even they like to, the local authorities, they like to scare you. Even if you go into the state-run weather forecasting,
SMHI. Yeah, that's right.
And they always, the first thing is, it was a warning fire.
Yeah.
Warning for fire, forest fire. And it's raining outside. And you say, okay, maybe it's local. No, then you go in and you can localize where they're warning for fires. It's where it's raining.
Yeah.
And it's been raining for a few days.
I don't know
if they retarded or they like to keep up this fear.
Yeah, I think they're just predicting the racial strangers, putting things on fire. I think that's what it is.
Like burning cars and things like that.
It's a very smart app. It just knows when it's going to go down. Yeah, for sure. So, tonight it's a special cozy show. We have a very special mission this week and next week, so there won't be a live show. So I thought we would treat you to a pre-recorded show where we're going to deal with some relevant headlines that are kind of gay, you know. That's what we're going to get into. It's going to be not the big gay episode like last year, but a mini gay, I think. Mini gay episode, you know. That's what we can get to. That's why Neo Mike is eager.
Why are you gay?
Wooden dildo.
He's very on the ball tonight. And we did have some donations to round off this week, actually. We had big money coming in from Parken. Very nice indeed. And he says, you're doing great work. And we thank you very much.
Thank you.
May the blessing of Tyr be upon you.
And he's this kind of Aryan warrior that is strapped with cash. Not strapped for cash. He's strapped with cash. And he donates cash straight to the movement. Like you should. People out there should... get perspective. It wasn't long ago since we bought envelopes and put cash in that envelope and sent it to people. It's not that hard. So if you want to support the struggle for the Nordic peoples, you can go on to nordicresistancemovement.org and click on the donations tab on that website. You will find the address where to send cash. And make sure if you send it to that address to mark it with Nordic Frontier. If you were aiming for this podcast. We also had some Minds points from Clifton Grayett, Misanthrope, and Drachen Blut. So that's also nice.
May the blessing of Tyr be upon you.
And as far as I know, the greenpill.com is still down for maintenance. The news will come later this year, I believe in the autumn. Might be back up with some new stuff for people to shop. People unaware of our situation, we don't currently have bank accounts for the movement or official accounts for the podcasts like we used to. So it is cash donations, Bitcoin wallet you will find in the show notes, or Minds points. If you're on minds.com, you can send that so we can boost our content. And speaking about boosting content, I would encourage people that are in our groups or following us on social media to share the content whenever you see it, the podcasts or articles from NordicResistanceMovement.org. That's very much appreciated. We do want to get the message of Nordic National Socialism out to as many people as possible. So, yeah, we have Gab, we have Minds, we have VK.com, we have Meve, Meve.com. And now we also have a Telegram group that you can check out in the show notes. There is a Telegram channel for the content, and then there's a chat if you want to talk to like-minded people. And that chat's been going hot, hot and heavy. Now, I believe it was yesterday that someone called NC Deuce was comparing the European Vikings to Ooga Booga NIGs from Africa, because Christianity was so based. They came here and saved us from ourselves. Thought that was kind of triggering, but, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. So the ceiling is high, as we say in Swedish, in this chat group. You can go in there and make your points.
Or the, some say, the roof of glass.
Yeah, you need to struggle that roof of glass, for sure. I didn't have that drop available. That would have been something. But, yeah, it's a relaxed show tonight, and we're going to get into our first headline. So, it is a gay lineup tonight. We are going to look into Stockholm Pride and, you know, Pride season, I guess it's called now. It's not Pride week, Pride day, it's Pride season. The summer is gay, and everyone's having a gay old time. Have you experienced any gays where you live?
I don't usually venture out where this.
You don't go outside.
Well, I go outside, but I don't go where the people gather.
Yeah.
But I have noticed the pedophile flag waving in the wind in several places. So. So I've noticed.
Yeah, so I was reading, you know, from Fria Tider, and my God, is that newsfeed a black pill? Like, you're scrolling through those pages, you just want to kill yourself. So you really have to filter that stuff so you don't go insane. But one of the headlines...
I've checked the news, so I'm aware.
Yeah.
What's going on.
Yeah, man, it is. It's hot and heavy because, you know... Not only Pride, but summer when it's hot. They say that racial strangers, they have a tendency to rape extra much when it's hot. They go crazy by the heat. And I can't imagine what they're like when they're back in Africa. And it must be crazy down there because it's so hot. And they don't know what to do with themselves. So you would think that coming up here would cool them down a little bit. But
that's been a crime wave this week.
Yeah.
Rape wave. Yeah, all kinds of crime this week.
And I was just reading that in the crime wave, you know, Stefan Löfven.
We're not drunk yet.
He had a press conference where he was condemning the violence in America. like that's relevant. Like he's projecting our own decaying nation. That he's, you know, first and foremost responsible for. But he's, you know, just projecting that on America with their violence, you know. It's horrible over there.
Well, that's easier. It's easier, right? You know, then you don't have to deal with it. You can ask, you know, you can put fingers on someone else and find faults, but you don't ever reflect on your own society you created.
No.
And its faults.
Yeah, it's, you know, disgusting how this is just ignored. But the good news is that ASAP Rocky, he was now released from jail.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. So the Trump is happy now. He's he's put his yarmulke on and have a little dance around the Oval Office, as you do when your favorite rapper gets released from jail after... You know, cutting some Afghan with a bottle. I don't know. But I think he was released on time served. So he served about a month and a half in jail. I think that's That was enough for him. So I don't know. He might be on doing his European tour now. To our detriment, I would say.
Yeah.
So the first headline is that the Swedish defense, they had a record in attendance at this year's Stockholm Pride. So, yeah, the defense put as much effort as possible into this thing. They had 150 employees, and this was volunteers and recruits and other people, and of course, överbefälhavaren. Do you know how to translate that for an international audience?
Well, he's like a commander in chief, but the president in the States, he's commander in chief.
Mm.
But I think he's in an equivalent position. Stefan Löfven doesn't have any military power, does he?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so he's like Hitler, isn't he? So he's
shame on you. You don't compare
Mikael Biden, which is our commander in chief, is just like Hitler. He's got he's the top dog in the army, and I think it's his second year now in the Pride Parade. Maybe it's been going on for longer, but he was in the headlines last year because he was dancing and singing along to ABBA, I believe, some gay song. Might have been a different song, but
I saw him. I sent you that link. Yeah, he was dancing to Guns N' Roses.
Mm.
Is that also gay now?
I've always thought it was gay, but might get backlash for that. No,
I didn't know. I don't know those things.
But, I guess it was hard rock.
Maybe. It's like maybe they're compared to Queen. Queen.
I don't know if it's that gay, but it's pretty gay. Yeah, yeah, but he's dancing along, singing along to some sort of karaoke of that stuff, and it's embarrassing. And of course, he's saying that this is fantastic, that this is the army is sending a clear signal about what the total defense, as it's called, they stand up for everyone's equal value. And that's the most important thing. And he says that everyone that has participated have done a very good job of spreading this message of what this institution is really for. And it's becoming quite obvious that they have no interest in defending our national borders or protecting the Swedish people from genocide. It's more about gay and how they can protect strangers that are being criticized on the internet. Or what are your feelings about the defense at this point?
Oh yeah, I have a flashback when I did my military service in the 80s, a long time ago. I don't know if you're going to talk about this guy. Who I made a comment. He was a professional. He was a full-time employee at the armed forces. So, but maybe you want to talk about him a little later.
No, bring him up for sure. We get into
it. Let's see. What is his name? I'm so bad at names.
Was it Mikael Hagenbo? Was that?
Yeah,
one?
That sounds right. So anyway, he's been in the armed forces, I think, for 35 years. And I think he was fired. Is that correct?
I think he quit, actually.
He quit?
Yeah. He got fed up.
And you just sent me a link before the show, Andreas. And I watched it. And he entered as a recruit in 82, I think. And then stayed on and was a professional. He was a... what's it called when you're in the army full time?
I don't know. Professional soldier?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Hired on professional soldier, I guess. And he, when you do, when you are that in Sweden, what you become then? It's you're more like a teacher. Most of them, for new recruits, many of them are like teachers and in that kind of position. Anyway, he went out. He had a YouTube video. He talks about his shame of the service and there's nothing to do about defend. He said he was ignorant. He thought he joined just because he wanted to defend the country and its and our people, but it's nothing to do with that. And when I did my service, that's what it's all about. Maybe it was already changing then. I don't know. But what we heard then was this stuff was never going on, and there was no racial strangers in my whole army base there where I was placed. And because they were not, you couldn't. I think even you were a Swedish citizen, but with a foreign background, you were not allowed into the armed services. So, because you were not trusted. And now, anyone can go in. I mean, it's a complete upside down from when I was in the service. So I can't imagine to be doing your military service today in that kind of environment. I wouldn't be able to stand it. I think I had to leave. I couldn't stand one day there with this kind of, you know, I don't know what they say, but I guess if this is all they talk about, everyone's equal value. It's nothing about defending our people and our country. It's just defending ideas, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I can't really explain myself very well, but
it's about so defending. Absurd. Yeah, so defending the values and democracy, you know, these buzzwords. And they're not making the effort of creating a viable army that can fight another army. You know, compare the Swedish army with any other nation around the world, it's a joke. You know, if anyone wants to invade, this will be the time because it's crazy. It's like
and also the soldier, the typical soldier. I remember when I was in there, the typical soldier is the quiet one. The best one is the quiet one. It's not an extrovert.
No,
that was my experience. Was the quiet one, didn't say much, just did stuff. He usually was the best shooter and the one who can the one you can rely on. Always did his duty. Those people dancing around like that, I wouldn't rely on anyone of them.
No,
I wouldn't trust anyone of those people. Extroverts just dancing around and singing. In the uniform.
And it was 2 years ago now, I believe, that a soldier got ordered to drive this truck during the Pride Parade, and he refused. And they brought him out to what's that called, court-martial, to expel him or punish him somehow. And they did convict him in the lower courts, and then he appealed, and he got freed in the end, and he got his employment back. But I don't know how you would feel going back to that work when they just forced you to drive a gay truck, you know, and then trying to punish you for refusing. It's absurd. And all these people, 150 people, how many of these people are just going because of the pressure that this now significant political force is doing, you know, this march that has immense influence over our country and obviously a lot of countries are in the West, but Sweden is ahead of the curve in this, forcing government employees to walk in these trains.
And as you said, the same soldiers who doesn't buy into this bullshit, they're bullied.
Yeah.
And they usually bullied, and they probably quit or, you know, have to leave. Or, because as you said, there's a strong force inside the armed forces who are taking over the whole force. And there's not room for clear thinking individuals anymore.
No, it's all about the narrative now. But talking about bullying, this Mikael Hagenbo, which he came out with this new video. Did you have time to watch that?
Yeah, I did.
So he's really pissed off that the army is now like really bragging about this record attendance at the gay walk. And he was telling his story about how, like you said, he joined in the 80s. And an interesting detail there that he mentions is that in 1989, he went to the same captain's course education as the current commander, Mikael Bydén. And he said that in those days and in the 90s, he was a really upstanding guy. He was a good guy. Mm-hmm. But at some point, he was sent to America in the beginning of the aughts. He was sent to America to, some sort of MK Ultra program. he came back as an ultra fag, and now he's dancing in these trains. But he said anyway when he came back that he had changed. You know, he had completely been reinstalled, and for the last 15 years, this is what he's been doing up until this point. And you have to wonder when you see the pictures of this guy, Mikael Bydén, what's going on in his head? Because he looks crazy, like he does look like he's having a good time. So that was an interesting detail from this guy that has worked there. Another thing that he mentions in this video is that he was bullied in the army. And he said that he had written a blog post about it. So I had a look and read his blog post from some years ago, where he summarizes his journey a little bit through the army, or the late stages of his army duty, where he in 2010 came into some trouble. So he was climbing the ladder there within the army, and he was recommended by a lot of people. He had a lot of people supporting him. And at some point around 2010, he was invited by colleagues to a Freemason's lodge to come and have dinner or some sort of ceremony with the Freemasons. And knowing a little bit about these people are about, he said no to that. And he said after that, he had the cold shoulder from everyone from his workplace. No one basically spoke to him. And he spent over a year doing nothing at his place of work. He had no assignments. No one was giving him any work. So he sat in his office for about a year, rolling his thumbs. And then he got transferred. After about a year, he got transferred to another unit, to another town. So he had to move. And he went to that town. And when he gets to the place, the guy in charge says, "What are you doing here? We're going to dismantle. Like, this place has been ordered to be dismantled." And he's like, "Oh, well, they sent me here." So then he had to, until that place was completely dismantled, he spent time sitting in the break room in that place, doing nothing. And his employer from the other place wasn't sending him any assignments. So really creepy, behavior from these higher ups. Like, this is really high up in the army. He was some sort of officer. And he thought about back then in 2010, 2011 to apply for general. Or I'm not sure how it's... how it works. But he said he never had the ambition, after knowing all this stuff, he never had the ambition to climb anymore, because he knew all those people up there, they're basically Freemasons, and they're in on the same deal, like Mikael Bydén with his new ideas for pride. That plan is up there at the top in the army. And if you're not in that plan, they're going to bully you until you give up. And he did give up after 5 years. He finally caved and just left the army and burnt his uniform. So I thought that was a very interesting story. It would be cool to have him on the show.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. He was. Now you can see how corrupt everything is. That we, Anna, we've been talking about that several times, but the armed forces, there's no exception there. Everything from the bottom to the top, it's rotten to the core, all of it.
Yeah. And it's Freemasonry. It's just so obvious. Mm. Within the police, within the justice system, and now within the army, these people are going to the same, sauna meetings, making decisions that doesn't include, the official procedure. These people make plans outside this that periphery, I would say.
I wonder what they have on this guy. Mikael, what's his name?
Mikael Budén, yeah. Maybe there's some Epstein photos or videos.
No, I just wonder, exactly. Do they have some photos on him with some underage boys or girls or other things? Or is this just a sociopath?
Hmm.
Or it's just, he can't be, I don't know. I mean, you can't, you're selling this idea to destroy your country. I don't know.
Exactly.
You're supposed to defend it. That's you. Yeah. And he's destroying it within.
Mm.
And he's leading the charge.
Yeah. And it's like we were discussing on our local TV show here the other day, and I know we've touched on it as well, that this Pride March that is being spread into every little town in Sweden, they have to have a Pride March now. And it's a way of the state to flex its muscle. It's flexing on you, saying that this is the thing that we're going to force down your throat, whether you like it or not. And if you oppose it, if you gather an organization to resist this, we're going to fine you, we're going to put you in court, we're going to put you in prison for questioning why, in the grounds of it, it's all about homosexuality and putting a penis in an anus. I think that's the core of it. But they've expanded it so far that it includes democracy and everyone's equal value, and just humanity. This flag, this movement is just humanity now. If you're not with us, you're some sort of demon. But in the core of it, it is just homosexual sex being normalized, and also pedophilia in the long run.
I know, I would simplify it even more. They think that flag stands for love. If you're against it, you're for hate.
Exactly.
That's simple. You have to keep it simple for the masses.
That is the basics. Yes. Yeah, I've seen that. Oh, my God. I've seen, basically memes or whatever you would call it, placards, slogans saying, love is love. How do you beat that? What are you going to say? You're right. Love is love. Now I have to become part of your movement because this is an excellent argument. How can I be against this? So they're basically guilt tripping people that don't want to love, saying, well, you're a hater. My God, disgusting. So, yeah, it is horrible. And it's just they're bullying everyone into this. Everyone's going to walk in this train at some point. But there is a resistance, and it's here. It's strong. What we could wish for is for these people to drop the hypocrisy and just replace the Sweden flag with the gay flag. I think they might as well at this point.
Hmm. Yeah, actually, I've seen people hoisting up this flag on their flagpole. A flagpole they never used, but all of a sudden now it's come to use, and they're using that flag. They never hoist the Swedish flag up.
No.
But all of a sudden, now, okay, now we're going to, yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that of some people where I live, yeah.
It's like the Vera Uretsson book, When the Flagpoles Were Blooming. That was referring to the swastika flag. This is like Sweden having a renaissance. They're like, I didn't used to have a flag, but now I have. So I'm going to fly this gay flag on my flagpole. It's really cool. Also related to gay news is a tweet that came out a few days ago from the Center Party's youth organization. And this is interesting because the youth, they're the revolutionaries, you know, like we've seen with the liberal youth. What are they called? LUF. Yeah. They were doing some stuff, but this CUF, which is the Center Party's youth, they've been really pushing the boundaries here, where before they have suggested making necrophilia and bestiality legal, because these are things that we need in our society. And then now, they're also saying that CUF is now for the removal of the legal age for having sex. CUF 19. Hashtag CUF 19. Mm. Yeah, go for CUF so that pedophiles can have free range on having sex with minors. Is this something that we were lacking, Johan?
Now, see, they're playing tricks with you. They said it's for your freedom.
Oh yeah, it's a liberal party. So,
yeah, but it also the Center Party using that. I think they use that. It always turns anything. If it's something illegal, well, we don't want things to be legal. We want freedom. Mm. All of a sudden, you know, they always use that word when it suits them to push an agenda. But if I want to say something using my voice and my free will, I don't have a free will. I would end up in jail.
Yeah. No.
So it's just always convenient. You can use that nice word of freedom when it suits you.
Yeah.
And then you can ban it too, because you're a hater. Then that's how they ban your speech. But yeah, we talked about that before.
But that's like you can say whatever you want, but you can't hate. Because that's illegal. Yeah. It makes it pretty hard to say what you want in these days. It's a lot of hate. But yeah, you were right there. It was the liberals' youth. That's the one, LUF, that was saying the necrophilia and bestiality. So now it is the Center Party's countering with removing the legal age, which is currently 15 in Sweden. It's very low compared to other countries. I believe... Is it 18 in America, or is it different per state, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know anymore, actually. I can't answer that.
But that makes it tricky, though, because, a lot of people do stuff before they're 18. So there's a lot of technical pedophiles out there, or theoretical.
But I wonder if this age 15, an 18-year-old, someone who's... cannot have sex with someone below 18. Is that correct?
Or? Yeah, that's right. But it's different if two 14-year-olds are having sex.
Yeah.
That's something else. So,
okay.
Yeah. You're allowed to be 35 and have sex with a 15-year-old. That's all right.
Okay. So
it's frowned upon. I hope.
Okay. So they want to lower that. Yeah, of course. So
they want to remove it. Seriously, they want to remove it. They want to remove the age. So.
Oh, remove it?
Yeah,
They don't want to lower it. They want to remove it.
Remove it. I mean, what's not to say? You know, you go down in the ages, you know, pick and choose. And they're saying, obviously, this is for... that it's about getting rid of the moral compass that the state has. They don't want the state to be involved in your love life with your 8-year-old.
See, again.
You know?
Now they're using that as... Yeah. Again, the state to rule over you, oppressive state.
Yeah,
you have freedom. You should have freedom. The state shouldn't govern you and your will.
Yeah,
you should have free will. See, and again,
it's so interesting. It's interesting that we have also spoken about that before. These liberal ideas in these Swedish parties, they're never talking about like private property and owning rights and like owning guns and all the good stuff of liberal ideas, like libertarians talk about. It's always like, I want to have sex with children and I want to be able to do as much drugs as I want. All that degenerate shit, that's what they're pushing for no good reason. I mean, how is our society going to become a better place by removing the legal age of having sex or having sex with animals? How is that going to benefit us as a race, as a nation?
Well, sex with dead people.
Yeah. I mean, why can't we have nice things? That's what I'm asking myself every day. It's because of these people.
Well, maybe they want to drag us down through the dirt. Yeah, well, I'm sure their boss, Annie Lööf, Ceiling of Glass, is happy.
Yeah, she's pushing that glass.
Organization. Yeah. But,
it's about to break.
Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. Like, these other youths, they're the revolutionaries, and they're... you never know what the mother party is going to say. But in this case, I'm sure we're going to hear something like...
They need to fight and to struggle the roof of glass.
There we go. These youths...
The roof of glass, here she's referring to, is the roof... The
age.
The age of having sex with adults.
Yeah. That is what they're going to struggle for. And it's all good things. Mm-hmm. All good things. Then the next headline was rustling. It was about these several people within the LGBTQP community and movement have been convicted of sex crimes. And I believe we have brought some of these characters up before, because it was quite recent that a prominent person within the Stockholm Pride that he was convicted of having sex with a minor in 2017, I believe, in December. We were talking about that. We were bringing that up in our big gay episode last year.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's like, you know, a needle in a haystack. This movement is just riddled with... predatory pedophiles. And it's like if you didn't want it to be true, you couldn't even pretend. It's like seeing Jews in everything, in all the kerfuffles going on in the world, like every single time. And if you dig deeper within the LGBTQP movement, you will find pedophiles and sexual offenders everywhere. Like, it's not normal to have a conviction for being a sexual predator. That's not a normal thing. It's not like everyday Joe goes around raping people. But in this movement, they're vastly overrepresented, and especially then connected to children.
Mm-hmm.
So you had this survey, or what, like a dig, that the Christian magazine, The World Today, has looked over many of these verdicts that have been in the last few years. And they found this one person, Maria Modin, from Stockholm Pride's press section, that she didn't want to give a comment on that, but she was among people in the article where there was a 39-year-old man that... during several years had seminars and exhibits on Stockholm Pride, and he's convicted for rape against children, and was that serious abuse of children for sexual posing and sexual harassment and serious child pornography crimes. This man has been in the board of directors for the Sweden's Young Doctors Association at the Doctors Association seminar in Stockholm Pride in 2016, together with Ulrika Westerlund, that is RFSL's previous chairman, I guess. And yeah, RFSL is like the homo lobby of Sweden. So he has found a little guy on an app called Cruiser that he abused. It was, yeah, this one was the one I was looking for. It was an interesting story that a 40-year-old woman was convicted of exploiting children for sexual posing and child pornography crime, where the crime against six children have been committed in the home environment. She was in this pedophile gang where three women and three men were involved. And it was two of these women took up orders of photographing children with a focus on their genitals in their proximity or in its proximity, and then sent these children to one of the men. So yeah, here you have three women acting like sexual predators. That's one of them that's connected to Stockholm Pride. And it's, I just can't fathom it.
Again, yeah. As you said, it's just tip of the iceberg.
Mm.
And I know the audience here understand what we're talking about and probably agree to most of the things we're saying. But I guess the people doesn't listen to the show. I guess I shouldn't address them if they're not listening. But
yeah.
Thinking you're a conspiracy theorist, a crazy little kook, you know, thinking that's a conspiracy going on here. Well, there's so much crime. If we have an honest media, honest judicial system, and police force that actually look into things like this, this Pride thing will be shut down, and everyone wouldn't have nothing to do with it anymore. But you know, of course, everyone's backing each other. Everyone's helping each other. It's everything is so rotten in this country.
Mm.
Well, it's just not just this country, but everything is so corrupt. And
this show is heavily focused on Sweden for a reason. Like, things are, I think, especially bad there. Like, it's bad everywhere. But in this sense, Pride and celebrating diversity, it's something else.
Hmm.
So it was last year, prior to Pride last year, the two big chiefs of the Stockholm Pride had to resign because they found out they had been convicted to prison for rape of child and then accused of buying sex from a minor. But I guess if they remove the age limit, it was just buying sex.
Mm-hmm.
So they might be lucky in the future. You never know. And then you have this 42-year-old Peter Grusmark that was one of the initiative takers or one of the founders of Luleå Pride up here in the north. He's now been convicted for child pornography crimes, where he was also hired as a project leader for something called Equality and Diversity within the county board up here in the north. So he was basically hired by the state to brainwash people about gayness and inclusiveness.
So, it would be interesting to find out what he's doing today.
Yeah, it would. I think he's probably paying the fines for that sex crime because it was quite recent that this happened. And I remember that when this happened, we had an action. We wrote specific flyers and went around his neighborhood and the neighboring neighborhoods and put flyers with his information, his picture, in their mailbox. informing them that they had a pedophile living next to them, you know. Like the Antifa does with the evil Nazi next door. What do you want? A Nazi or a pedophile? You know, what's better? What do you prefer?
And what's it called in the United States? They have something like that. Amy?
Is that when a convicted pedophile gets released from prison? They have
yeah,
to...
you can go in. You can go in on the website wherever you live, and you can see where all the registered sex offenders live, so you know exactly where they live.
That's a good idea.
I like that.
Yeah,
it's good. No, it's very good. Yeah,
innovation. That's what we need. Instead of removing the age of consent, we need to have that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, and I also wanted to add that Luleå in particular, when it comes to Pride, is insane. I mean, it's a small town, but they've got Luleå Pride in the summer, and then they got Pride on Ice in the winter.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So it's got, like, Pride all year round, man. Can't escape it. So I think we'll have to burn that place down to the ground, start over. It's infested, can't be saved. All right.
There's a lot of places like that.
Yeah, there is. We're marking them out on this podcast, so we'll know. We have a long memory. I believe.
Very long.
There will not be enough lampposts.
I think that's what we're aiming for. And then, that's basically the show for today. I think we're going to keep it short. But I also wanted to discuss this thing, if you had time to read this article from the Daily Mail, or if that's a surprise sprung upon you.
Yeah, I saw it, but I could only read the beginning.
Yeah. Is it locked or something?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just.
Well, I found it very interesting. It's a piece called Berlin Before the Nazis. Century-old photos show German capital as a liberal hub with open drug dealing, thriving gay clubs, and raucous parties. Is that a word? Raucous parties during the Roaring Twenties. So basically what they're talking about is Weimar Germany, and they're describing it as thriving, thriving gay clubs. They had, it was a liberal hub of happiness. Everyone was gay.
A lot of love there.
Yeah, there was a lot of love. And love in all kinds of places. So, I mean, love is love. Who's going to argue? So you have here, Hitler came to power in 1933. German capital was a liberal hotbed where people indulged their sexual and hedonistic appetites in Berlin's nightlife and party culture. And I'm going to link this in the show notes, this article, that you can see these pictures from the 20s where they're having such a good time. And I believe something that might be striking is that... most of this is the upper classes, I believe. They were enjoying some of the degeneracy. But, you can't really celebrate women openly dealing cocaine or having sex clubs for all different tastes and appetites. How can you write a glorifying article about that stuff when you know how it was? You know what the 1920s Germany was like. It was a shithole. And that goes for most of Europe's capitals at that point. But Berlin was infamous for its degeneracy, where mothers were selling their daughters and probably their boys as well in gay clubs. And the drug abuse. And this is, I think... this is even before the Depression, but it's during the Depression, and it culminates before Hitler comes to power, and he just completely wipes this shit straight off the map and creates a wholesome community, nation that is, you know, for the people, for the best of the German people. And all this stuff that they're trying to glorify in this article is what's bad for your people. This liberal, sexual, hedonistic, drug-induced, you know, after party.
I think that's the white pill of today's show, I think. This decadent lifestyle, this weird, unnatural lifestyle we're seeing being celebrated in Sweden right now, it's going to end. Mm. It will end. I mean, even normies I talk to, they don't say it in those words we use, but they say, enough, something like that. I can't, too much, or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's a limit to this. And of course, they get going further and further, you know, in TV and news and out in the society. People getting fed up. And we saw what happened in Germany. I think we will see the same same thing. That people will turn away from that, and they want to see it crushed and gone. I think so. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. You can only be gay for so long, you know. Then, or as the English would say, you can only be an English fag for so long. Or, sorry, English cigarette for so long, you're going to get smoked. I think that's what English do. And, yeah, this thing is culminating, and we're going to clean it up pretty soon. But with that, I was going to tell you that we have an extra treat for you. After a tiny break, we'll be putting on a reading of an article that was published on NordicResistanceMovement.org that is called "What is Cultural Marxism?" And it says, "The anti-Nordic homosexual lobby is often described as being cultural Marxist. But what is cultural Marxism? Where did it come from? And where and what are its goals?" So if you want to find that out, stay tuned, and we'll be linking that in the show notes as well. So with that, I say have a nice time, and hail victory.
Hail victory.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey purified water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size for incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency. Get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
KD Armor raised the standard. Finally, AR-500 steel core body armor that comfortably conforms to the chest and torso. Unique design distributes weight, feeling lighter, increases mobility, and lessens fatigue. Introducing the Combat Quad Bend CQB, a revolutionary plate forming process that caters to the end user. The CQB is an industry game changer, a must-have for the ladies. Available now, only at KDArmor.com. CATIArmor.com. Come and take it.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
What is cultural Marxism? Marxism entered the world stage in 1847 when the Jew Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels published the Communist Manifesto. It's important to understand that communism's ultimate goal was always a worldwide revolution and a worldwide government. As it was the rich white West that dominated world affairs at this point in time, it was the West that the communists sought to attack, believing with good reason that the rest of the world would fall after the West was conquered. Communism won a substantial victory when Russia was captured during the Russian Revolution in 1917. The Marxists believed that the world war would cause the workers to rise up and seize power in Western countries, but it didn't happen. The workers didn't revolt, despite the destitution that followed World War I. The Marxist theorists subsequently set about determining how they could achieve world revolution and a world government now that Western working class had abandoned the idea. The new Bolshevik regime's first leader, the Jew Vladimir Lenin, had a vision of attacking the West by liberating its colonies and mobilizing them against their former rulers. Lenin's intention was to cut the West off from its important mineral and energy resources in the colonies and thus bring it to its knees. Another highly regarded Bolshevik, the Jew Leon Trotsky, wanted to use racial division to achieve worldwide revolution and saw the potential of exploiting racial strife between whites and blacks to promote a revolution in the US. It was partly due to the pressure by Trotsky that the Socialist Workers' Party adopted a racially charged resolution in New York in July 1939. This resolution argued that blacks had been the most oppressed section of American societies for centuries and thus encouraged complete and unconditional support for their fight for freedom in the proletariat revolution against their imperialistic repressors. After World War I, two other leading Marxist intellectuals, Antonio Gramsci in Italy and the Jew Georg Lukács in Hungary, posed the question as to why the working classes had not revolted. They both arrived at the same answer, that the working class had been indoctrinated by Western culture and that this culture had to be removed before a communist revolution could occur. This was the beginning of cultural Marxism. The emphasis was now on eradicating Western society by destroying the culture, rather than via purely economic and political methods, as had been detailed in the writings of Marx and Engels. Gramsci in particular became famous for designing a strategy to destroy the West from within. Rather than relying on what he saw as an unreliable working class, he advocated for the long march through the institutions as a means to revolution. The Marxists would take over the schools, the media, the churches, and all other institutions that safeguarded Western culture. Gramsci's strategy has proven to be extremely successful, so much so that it's no exaggeration to say that all the West's cultural institutions have now been usurped by Marxists. Georg Lukács has had an even greater influence than Gramsci. In 1918, he became the cultural minister of the short-lived Béla Kun government in Hungary. He asked the famous question, "Who will save us from Western civilization?" He answered it by institutionalizing what he referred to as cultural terrorism. One of the key components in cultural terrorism was introducing sexual education in Hungarian schools. This attack on Hungary was unsuccessful, however, and the Hungarian working class became so furious that Lukács was chased out of the country. Lukács later showed up in Germany in 1923 at a Marxist Week, a seminar sponsored by the Jewish millionaire Marxist Felix Weil. Weil and other participants at the seminar were fascinated by Lukács' theories on cultural Marxism, and Weil subsequently used some of his personal fortune to establish an institute at Frankfurt University, which later became known as the Frankfurt School. The purpose of the school was to discover a way to recruit new classes to the World Revolution, following its rejection by the working classes. The intellectual framework created by the Frankfurt School became known as cultural Marxism, or more popularly known as political correctness. In 1930, the Frankfurt School appointed a new director, the Jew Max Horkheimer. Later, other intellectuals joined its ranks, like the Jew Theodor Adorno, the Jewish psychologists Erich Fromm and Wilhelm Reich, and a young Jewish student by the name of Herbert Marcuse. It was at this point that the school broke away from the traditional Marxist view that culture was determined by economic factors and instead argued that the culture is an independent and important aspect of society. The school also asserted that the working class would never bring about the world revolution and that it was therefore necessary to find a new social class that would. The question as to who should replace the working class as the spearhead in the world revolution was first answered many years later by Herbert Marcuse. The Frankfurt School subsequently worked to amalgamate the ideas of Karl Marx and Sigmund Freud. Under the influence of Freud and others, the school understood that appealing to the masses' feelings was much more important than appealing to their reason. Freud's nephew, Edward Bernays, who is practically known today as one of the greatest influencers of the 20th century, developed theories on how to brainwash the masses. Bernays' theories later augmented by the British Tavistock Institute, and thanks to modern means of communications such as newspapers, radio, TV, film, etc., the brainwashing of the masses has become particularly ubiquitous and almost complete. One of the most influential publications by the Frankfurt School was The Authoritarian Personality by Theodor Adorno. The book is a polemic against the prejudices and discrimination, chiefly of white people's discrimination towards blacks. It was succeeded by the Jewess Betty Friedan's Feminist Revolution, which was aimed at Western man. White heterosexual men were cast as arch-villains and were accused of racism, sexism, homophobia, and so on, with the ultimate purpose being to destroy white Western civilization. Trotsky's theory of permanent revolution was realized by the Frankfurt School via means of a technique called critical theory. According to Max Horkheimer, it was the social theory of criticizing all aspects of Western society with the ultimate purpose of eradicating it. Horkheimer's theory led to extremely destructive criticism of the West, particularly in the fields of religion, homogeneity, norms, family, morality, tradition, culture, sexual morals, loyalty, patriotism, masculinity, nationalism, and conservatism. When the National Socialist came to power in Germany, 1933, the Frankfurt School fled to the US. But most of its members returned after 1945. Herbert Marcuse remained in America after the war, where he demonstrated an uncanny ability to popularize cultural Marxism, and thus had an enormous impact on future generations. His Eros and Civilization continued the synthesis of Marx and Freud and advocated for liberating Eros to create what he called polymorphous perversity. This was a continuation of Georg Lukács's theories on using sexuality to destroy Western civilization. Eros and Civilization became extremely popular among the hippie movement in the 1960s. Marcuse wrote in The Carnivorous Society, 1970, "One can rightfully speak of a cultural revolution, since the protest is directed toward the whole cultural establishment. There is one thing we can say with a complete assurance. The traditional idea of revolution and the traditional strategy of revolution have ended. These ideas are old-fashioned. What we must undertake is a type of diffuse and dispersed disintegration of the system." What Marcuse meant by a type of diffuse and dispersed disintegration of the system became clear when he popularized what he termed the Great Refusal, a process that utilized sexual liberation and the black and the feminist revolutions at universities to convince students to hate white Western heritage. Marcuse used naive students as useful idiots by exploiting their sympathy for the poor and repressed colored people of the world. As a result, students supported Trotsky's permanent revolution without understanding what it really entailed. One should bear in mind that the liberation of blacks and women was not a goal, but a means for the Marxists. Cultural Marxists used blacks and women as useful idiots in order to fragment society via divide-and-conquer tactic. The ultimate purpose was to destroy Western white civilization, bring about world revolution, and impose a world government. The Frankfurt School adopted Marxist theories on revolution to include Freud's theory of the subconscious. The cultural Marxists' main focus was to reshape the subconscious of Western men and women and thus create a new type of person, one who would react passively to provocations of all kinds. The beliefs, the attitudes, the values of the West were subsequently dissolved, and millions of Western men and women would later come to believe and value the opposite of which they did previously. It was a revolution of human thought. The dissolution of the moral order brought about by the cultural Marxist led to an altered perception of the white race. The worth of the white race in general, and Western men in particular, was downgraded, while the worth of all other races was raised. This was accomplished via ingenious propaganda, especially in school textbooks and the media. The cultural Marxists were extremely clever at claiming that Western men were guilty of all the world's woes, including war, slavery, racism, sexism, homophobia, xenophobia, and the repression of the lower classes. They aroused feelings of pity and sympathy designed... They arose feelings of pity and sympathy for designated victims in the lower classes, while simultaneously demonizing whites. This moral dissolution of the Western moral order, together with the systematic destruction of Western values, was the basis of the next step, the physical eradication of white civilization. The cultural Marxist encouraged abortion, birth control, divorce, homosexuality, career women, drugs, miscegenation, and the destruction of the traditional family and unrestricted immigration of racial foreigners into white countries. This is a reflection of what the cultural Marxists preach. White reproduction is evil, and that which prevents white reproduction is good. It is important to remember that the purpose of communism / Marxism is not the sharing of wealth. Rather, it is to concentrate all power in the hands of a few individuals and create a society in which they can live in luxury while the rest live in poverty and mediocrity. This is how communism has worked throughout history. This fact is overwhelmingly documented and clearly visible in today's society. The Marxists have worked unrelentingly for 150 years to change the West's view of itself, with the intention of initiating a process that leads to a social dissolution and the White West's erasure. The Marxist social revolutionaries who strive to dismantle the Western power structure have written a vast number of books on the subject. These include the works of Marx, Engels, Lenin, Trotsky, Gramsci, Lukács, Ernst Bloch, the Frankfurt School members like Max Horkheimer, Theodor Adorno, Erich Fromm, Wilhelm Reich, Leo Löwenthal, Friedrich Pollock, Franz Neumann, and Herbert Marcuse. One of the best known and accurate descriptions of the coming global dictatorship is George Orwell's 1984. Today the book is generally read as pure fiction, but it correlates frighteningly well with how the modern world looks and where we're heading. He wrote as follows: "If you want a vision of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever." And that is it for tonight. I hope you enjoyed this little Nordic Frontier special episode. Very nice, very cozy. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks. So next live show should be on Tuesday, the 20th of August. So until then, join us on the social media, on Gab, Minds, VK, Meve, and join our Telegram group. Get in there and chat with like-minded people. But that's it for me, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
Harlem River, talk to me. Tell me what you think about Harlem River. I'm in love, 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 love. Harlem River, talk to me. Where we headed now? Harlem River, I'm in love, 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 love. All because of you. In my pearl, in my diamond shoes, I've climbed a cloud, now I've stole the moon. Harlem River, all because of you. Swallow me, put your hands around my neck. In Harlem River I can't breathe, they've got the lights down now. In Harlem River, give me wings, put my head up in the clouds. In Harlem River, all because, oh, I'm nowhere now. In my pearl and my diamond shoes, I've climbed a cloud, now I've stole the moon. Harlem River, all because of you. I've never been, and I
You're listening to Resolution Radio. Resolutionrdo.com.